The special 10 Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum. The special 10 Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum. The special 10 Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum. The special 10 Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, we welcome you back once again to our very special program The Special 10, in which we are going to be discussing and continuing our discussion with regards to the lives of those 10 specific and special individuals whom the Prophet ﷺ, whom our beloved Nabi ﷺ mentioned all in one go and said that these blessed companions are dwellers of heaven. They are heavenly people. They are destined to go to heaven. They are destined to go to paradise. Even though each and every companion of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is indeed a dweller of heaven, is indeed destined to go to paradise. And on other occasions we will see that many other companions might have also been given glad tidings of paradise. But these 10 specific individuals, these 10 special individuals, they were given glad tidings of paradise by the beloved tongue and by the blessed tongue of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam in one go. And they were all mentioned together in one hadith, one narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one narration of our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wa alihi wasallam, which we have heard in our initial episodes of this program. But as usual, before we proceed further with our program, with our episode for today, let's listen to a blessing of reciting salawat and salam upon the beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The Rasul of Rahmah, the intercessor of Ummah, the owner of Jannah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, decorate your gatherings by reciting salat upon me, as your recitation of salat upon me will be noor for you on the day of judgment. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatun wa salaman alayka ya Rasulullah. We had started discussing the blessed life of Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiyallahu ta'ala an. And we have mentioned various aspects of his life already. And in our last episode, we discussed in detail with regards to his wealth and his generosity, and along with that, generally, the concept of keeping wealth, and is wealth in itself bad? Or what, when is wealth criticized? When is it okay? And so on and so forth. And there's still, obviously, so much more that could be said about the topic, but we briefly tried to mention some of the main points with regards to wealth and accumulation of wealth and gathering wealth. And we have mentioned various qualities of this great companion radiyallahu ta'ala an throughout our episodes at various points and various occasions within the episodes. But inshallah, today we want to try to discuss a few of his qualities together so we can kind of get a better idea of his personality, him as a person and him as a practicing Muslim. And obviously, equally as important is what can we take from his life? What can we take from his blessed habits and his routine that we can also try to implement into our own lives? What can we learn from the way he lived his life? Like we've said in our previous episodes, that when we hear about these blessed individuals, yes, indeed, there is the nuzul of rahmah, there is the descent of mercy when these pious individuals are mentioned. But along with that, not only to gain blessings from their mentioning and their dhikr, but also we should be aiming to learn something from their life, which we take on board and implement into our own lives. So this is another big intention that we should have whilst we're listening to the lives of these blessed individuals. So let's move on with our discussion with regards to the blessed life of Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiyallahu anhu, and make an intention that inshaAllah we will try to learn from his blessed habits and his routines, and at least try to act upon to a certain extent whatever his teachings are, whatever he has taught us through his practical life. Teaching one is verbally teaching, verbally advising someone, which we've heard previously as well, in our previous episodes when we were discussing some of the other companions, radhiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, along with their physical life, the way they live their life and what we can take on board. We also discuss their verbal teachings, what message have they given us. So likewise here we're discussing how he lived his life, radhiyallahu anhu, Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf. So let's try to take things on board. One of the first things that we're going to hint towards and just briefly mention is his humbleness, his down-to-earth attitude, you can say. Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiyallahu an, it is stated with regards to him that he radiyallahu ta'ala an, he was very laid back, very down-to-earth and very simple natured person. He had a simple nature. Sayyidina Sa'ad bin Hasan radiyallahu an, he says with regards to the humbleness and with regards to the tawadu and the wada of Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiyallahu an, that he was such a simple natured person, such a humble person, that when he would go amongst his slaves, his ghulam, his slaves, at that point you would not be able to differentiate who is the master and who is the slave. This was the great humbleness of such a great companion. Keeping in mind that the companions we're discussing right now are those 10 special individuals who were directly, by the tongue of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, given glad tidings of paradise. And yet this is their level of humbleness. This is their level of showing humbleness in the court of Allah and generally living their life humbly. And this is something, a great point for us to pick up on. And generally when we don't feel like we've achieved a lot in life, we might be humble to a certain extent. But when we apparently get to a point where we have achieved something and we regard it as a big achievement, and we unfortunately forget that this is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we start to consider it an achievement by ourselves, an achievement of ourselves, then we start to lose that side of humbleness and we start to boast about our achievements and we start to become big-headed in one way. And we start to have this pride within us. And that's when we start to kind of lose track of the blessing that we have in life, and generally just lose track of actually being grateful for the blessings. So this is something, keeping in mind that this great individual, Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiyallahu anhu, he is a wealthy individual. He is an individual who is successful both in the world and also in the religion, as we will see inshallah in our discussion today and in our upcoming episode inshallah azza wa jal. But despite that, despite having been such a successful person both in the world and religiously as well, despite having received the glad tidings of paradise by the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it never made him arrogant in a way that he considered himself to be superior than the others around him, but rather it only humbled him more. Now, this is a beautiful example that the scholars give, that when a tree is laden with fruit, when it has a lot of fruit, the branch that has a lot of fruit, that branch is lowered. That branch lowers itself. But a branch that has less fruit or no fruit, then that branch is high up. So likewise, when a person has something, he truly has obtained something, religiously, in terms of religion especially, if he has truly obtained something, then he will be lowered, because he has the fruit of religious knowledge. And somebody who's void of that, somebody who does not have that fruit, then he will be high. And this is something that we need to be pondering over. Secondly, we've already discussed in detail with regards to the sadaqat and the generosity of Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiyallahu anhu. This is another outstanding quality of his. But we have discussed this in detail, so we'll just go and hint towards it and then move on. Another beautiful, beautiful quality. Another quality that we need to build within ourselves, we need to try to instill within ourselves, is his fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so much so that despite having achieved so much in terms of the world and in terms of religion, and despite having been given the glad tidings that he was given, he had such fear, this love for wealth never built in his heart so much that ma'azallah it made him heedless. He never engrossed in that love of the wealth, and he never became heedless of the religion. It is narrated with regards to Sina Abdurrahman bin Auf radiyallahu an, a beautiful narration that once he says that Inna Abdurrahman bin Auf radiyallahu ta'ala an utiya bi ta'amin wa kana sa'ima. So he was brought some delicious food once and he was fasting. So his state was such that he was fasting. And he says, قُتِلَ مُصْعَبُ بْنُ عُمَيْرٌ وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ مِنِّي كُفِّنَ فِي بُرْدَةٍ إِنْ غُطِّيَ رَأْسُهُ بَدَتْ رِجْلَاهُ وَإِنْ غُطِّيَ رِجْلَاهُ بَدَأَ رَأْسُهُ. He says that Sayyidina Mus'ab bin Umayr radiallahu anhu, another great companion of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was martyred and he was shrouded in one cloth. And that cloth was such that if they tried to cover his head, his feet, his legs, and his feet would become uncovered. They would become visible. And if they tried to cover his feet, his head would become uncovered. This was Sayyidina Abdurrahman bin Auf, who was expressing this at the time of seeing various items of food in front of him. And this is Sayyidina Mus'ab bin Umayr radiallahu anhu. If we were to study his biography and his life, for he came from such a wealthy background, but look at how when he came to Islam, how much he sacrificed, to the extent that when he is about to be buried, this is the state, that he's only being buried in one cloth. So Sayyidina Abdurrahman bin Auf, thinking about that, pondering over the sacrifices of the Muslims, especially in the early days of Islam, and thinking about the early days of Islam and the difficulties, he starts to think about these sacrifices, and he mentions them. And then he continues and he says, وَقُتِلَ حَمْزَ وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ مِّنِّي. So he says, Sayyidina Mus'ab bin Umayr radiallahu anhu, he was martyred and he is better than I, he is more respected than I am. This was his humbleness and this was his way of showing tawadu and his way of humbling himself and his modesty and his humbleness in this case. So he says, ثُمَّ بُسِطَ لَنَا مِنَ الدُّنْيَا مَا بُسِطَ. Then he says that the world has, worldly wealth has been bestowed to us. The world has been opened up to us. We've been granted a lot of worldly wealth. And look at the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this great individual possesses. He is now connecting the fact that he's been endowed and he's been blessed with such great amount of wealth. He says, وَقَدْ خَشِينَا. And we fear أن تكون حسناتنا عجلت لنا. That maybe our good deeds, the reward for our good deeds has been given to us quickly in this world. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So he says that I fear that the wealth and all this worldly blessing that I'm getting, maybe it is a recompense for my good deeds. And if an individual is getting the reward for his good deeds in this world, then that reward is going to be decreased from the hereafter. And this is something, generally, this is something that is worrying Sayyidina Abdurrahman bin Auf, to the extent that the narration states, ثُمَّ جَعَلَ يَبْكِي. He started to cry. حَتَّى تَرَكَ الطَّعَامُ. To the extent that he left food, he totally forgot about the food. He started to cry. And this crying was out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly give us the ability to ponder over this incident and think about firstly the status of this great individual. And then look at the way he's living his life. Food is brought to him and what is his state? He is fasting. That is his piety. That is his practice as a Muslim. And yet, he starts to ponder over the sacrifices of the early days of Islam, the sacrifices that Muslims went through. And then he cries over those memories and he fears that the wealth that he has been given, despite the fact that the Messenger, the beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has given him the glad tidings of paradise. Despite that, he is still so fearful that he is crying over this thought that maybe this is a reward for my good deeds in this world. Then what am I going to do in the hereafter? Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly give us the ability to likewise build this thought, this mindset within us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to develop this mindset and see that when we are inflicted with a calamity, when we face difficulties, they are a means of forgiveness for our sins. But on the other hand, despite our disobedience, if we are given an abundance of wealth, it could be that any good that we have done, it is a recompense for that in this world. Then what are we going to be doing in the hereafter? Like the Quran, in the Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, you know, we said to the people that you have consumed the good wealth of the world, the goodness of the world in the world, and today you will be given a disgraceful punishment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَذْهَبْتُمْ طَيِّبَاتِكُمْ فِي حَيَاتِكُمُ الدُّنْيَا وَاسْتَمْتَعْتُمْ بِهَا فَالْيَوْمَ تُجْزَوْنَ عَذَابَ الْهُونَ. Allahu Akbar. So, Sadr al-Afadil, Allama Mawlana Sayyid Muhammad Naimuddin Murad Abadi, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, he says in Khazan al-Irfan that in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has condemned and criticized the disbelievers for desiring worldly pleasure of this world. So therefore, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions alayhim radwan, they totally disconnected themselves from the world and its worldly pleasures. Allahu Akbar. And this was, we see when we look at the books of hadith, even the famous books of hadith like Bukhari and Muslim, we see, for example, the beloved family of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they did not eat even bread made out of barley. They wouldn't eat that for like 2 days in a row. In fact, to the extent that it is stated that for 40 days sometimes there will be no fire lit, no fire for cooking lit in the home of the, in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the house of the beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they would only suffice on water and dates. So they would only consume water and dates. And this is how much. And keeping in mind, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is he who has lifted and finished the problems of many, financial problems of many. He has given them food when they wanted. He has given them financial support when they wanted. When we read the books of hadith of the, when we read the books of the blessed ahadith of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we see this and we come across this. And the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has been granted that authority. And he has been granted that, not only that authority, but he has been given the keys to all the treasures of the world. So he can bestow and bestow upon someone, he can give to whomsoever he wants. We see many examples of this in the ahadith of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he has helped people. But his own state is such. And this is obviously by choice. Him living this life of poverty in one sense, that is by choice. He chose to live his life like that. And this is something for the nation. This is a teaching for the ummah, that do not become lost in the love of the world. Do not become lost in the love of the wealth of the world. We have discussed previously how wealth is not bad in itself, but on the other hand, we have to keep in mind that this is not, it should not take over us. And it should not become our only pursuit in this world. It shouldn't be our main purpose. And even from a worldly aspect, just money, just wealth itself is not a good goal to have, in the sense that you'll see many wealthy people, they had a certain target and aim to achieve this, accumulate this much of wealth in the world. And when they achieved that target, then what? They were depressed because they did not know what to do next. They did not have, because they have achieved their goal, that financial goal that they set for themselves. We see many people in terms of what who are considered celebrities and stars in this world, who earn their wealth and who earn their fame, even though it is through haram means, they end up committing suicide. So if wealth was the answer to everything, then, you know, the wealthiest people would be the happiest people in the world. But a lot of the wealthiest people are actually the most depressed people as well. So it is not only that, it is finding a balance between religion and the world. And our religion teaches us how to obtain that peace of the heart and peace of the mind. And if wealth is our only pursuit, then we will be in trouble, then we will be going off track. And this is a beautiful teaching by the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam for his ummah. And look at how Sina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, once again remembering the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, along with his fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at his love for the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, once he was presented with some meat and some bread to consume with that meat, he radiallahu anhu, he started to cry. He started to cry. And when asked with regards to why he was crying, he says that the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away physically. He apparently departed from this world. His apparent demise from this world took place. And yet the state was such that his family, his household, never even ate bread made out of barley to a full stomach. And just that thought, that love for the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made him cry whilst he was presented with food. So this was his love. Despite having the worldly blessings, but he was constantly connected to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is something that we lack, our connection with our religion and our connection with our master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is something that we need to learn and build again. We need to strengthen that connection. We definitely still have that connection, alhamdulillah. We have that love for the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we need to strengthen that connection. That connection is strengthened by following the sunnah of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, studying his blessed life, and by studying his biography to see how did the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam live his life, what was his way of dealing with people, and so on and so forth. And these blessed companions, alayhim wa radwan, they actually witnessed all of this. So the teachings that we are going to read about in a book of Seerah, in a book about the life of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they firsthand, they witnessed it and they experienced it. And that's why they were such people of such high status, because they were directly taught by the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were blessed with the company of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the other hand, just thinking about food itself, you know, Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, he sees food and he remembers the difficulties of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the other hand, we have made food our passion. It is said that we should eat to live, not live to eat. But on the other hand, we're living to eat. We want to try out as many foods as we can. When we have food in front of us, we're eating it away like we'll never get another chance. Now, we have many other things to pursue. You know, if we're living to eat, that's not a good target. We have many other targets that we could be pursuing. But this is a very important matter in terms of our health as well. So many people out there are so concerned with regards to their diet, and they're really looking at what to eat, what not to eat. But nobody's firstly concerned about how they're consuming that food, in terms of chewing, in terms of how much to eat. Those are the Islamic teachings and the Islamic manners of eating. Likewise, then there's another section. There is another type of people who are not concerned about what they're consuming at all. They just consume for joy, they just eat for joy. But that joy and that taste only remains for a few minutes or so. And then that taste, once the food goes beyond the throat, and below into the stomach, that food, especially all this processed food that we consume, that is only harming us. So this is something for us to be pondering over. And generally, just in general, keeping hungry or not eating to a full stomach, eating less, these are all etiquettes that we get taught by our scholars, and these are things that we actually find our scholars practice, and these are things that are actually, in this day and age, when we look at research, it is for our benefit, for our health, the benefit of our health. So this is something that we need to, another thing that we need to take on board. On the other hand, look at how much Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala an also feared, and he feared the divine plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, having received such glad tidings, having achieved so much in both the world and the religion, Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu never let this fear go from his mind. The fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the fear of the secret divine plan of Allah. Sayyidina Hassan Basri rahmatullah alayhi in Hilyatul Awliya stated, the summary of his saying is that whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants an abundance of something, be it an abundance of wealth in this world, or he has good health, or he has high status, a high position, whatever, he's granted that despite his disobedience. So whomsoever is granted abundance in this world despite his disobedience, and he does not fear the divine plan of Allah, then he is heedless of the divine plan of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the divine plan, the secret plan of Allah Azza wa Jal, what does that mean? It means, what do we have in store for us? Have we ever thought about that? Maybe we were born as Muslims, or maybe some of the viewers of Madani Channel, maybe we later on reverted and we became Muslim, we accepted Islam, we embraced Islam. No matter what the case is, what guarantee do we have that we will definitely live and die as Muslims? There are constant attacks on our iman throughout the day, throughout our life that we live, throughout the media. And this, the shaitan, the purpose of the shaitan is to take away our iman. And he will try till our very last breath, till we have passed away from this world in a state of iman. He is not going to rest. You know, have we ever feared for our iman? Have we ever thought that the sins that we're committing on a daily basis, they are going to weaken our faith, weaken our iman? And this is something that we generally don't think about, but this is something that we need to be thinking about. Speaking of the divine plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, he is from amongst those people that even though all his life he pleased the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thus also gained the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he never, despite all of this, never became heedless of the divine plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is stated that once Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, and this is actually a beautiful story. This is a story that requires a lot of explanation within itself. But our time for this episode is coming to an end. So inshallah, we will continue our discussion from here in our next episode, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. But today we have learnt and we have briefly looked at the humbleness of Sayyidina Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu anhu, and then his fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his love for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his connection, that connection with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And next we want to look at how he feared the divine plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, that same incident shows how much he loved the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what upset him? What would make him cry? What would upset him? This is a beautiful incident to narrate, and inshallah we will narrate this within our upcoming episode, inshallah, in our next episode. But until then, we need to keep in mind that these blessed companions, alayhim radwan, their lives, when we look at their lives, what do we learn from their lives? What do we take on board from their lives? If we are just sat there in front of the TV, or if we were constantly attending one lecture after another, we're attending various gatherings that are held by Sunni Sahih al-Aqidah people around our locality, around our cities, or in other cities, we can go and attend lectures all of our lives. But until we make a decision to act upon what we're learning, it won't bear that same fruit. It won't have that same benefit and won't bear that same fruit. To end, we'll just briefly mention a beautiful example that Sayyidina Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned in Ayyuhal Walad. When one of his students asked for some advice, Sayyidina Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi wrote a letter as a reply. And he says that after obviously telling him that he should have obtained advice from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ by now. And then he tells him that just gathering and accumulating knowledge is not good enough. And he gives an example. If you're going through a jungle and you have two very good swords, Hindi swords, with you, and you're an expert at using them, and a lion comes, would just having those swords on you save you? Or would you have to use the swords to protect yourself? He says, likewise is the example of knowledge. On the day of judgment, just having that knowledge might not protect you. Just having that knowledge will not benefit you if you hadn't acted upon it. Because you just had it with you, but you did not act upon it. So this is something that we need to learn and take on board. That when we hear about these blessed personalities, we need to be taking on board their teachings and implementing them into our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to do so. Ameen. Bijahin Nabir. Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The special tense of Abbas radiyallahu anhum. The special tense of Abbas radiyallahu anhum. The special tense of Abbas. رضي الله عنهم. The special ten sahaba رضي الله عنهم.